couldn't come yesterday, then get some tracts and give them out this week. Amen. Make up for it. But appreciate those that came out yesterday. We did have one man that accepted Christ as his Savior. That's a 21-year-old man. Is that right? What's his first name?
Mason.
So y'all pray for Mason. And he got saved. There's a couple of the folks we made contact with that are going to say they'd come visit the church. So we did our part. Thank the Lord for that, and I appreciate those that came out. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 4, and also we're going to look at chapter 11, verse number 3. We can flip over to it after we read this one. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 4, the Bible says, well, look at verse number 3. Verse number 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God, the little g of this world, it's blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. Yesterday we gave the gospel. We did go on a visitation of sorts where we invited folks to come to church, but the question that was asked, I believe at every door that we knocked on, was if you were to die today, where would you spend eternity? And we would love to fill up this church with people, but more importantly, we want to see people kept from going to hell. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are blind, in whom the God of this world hath blinded their minds. Amen? And so there are some that we talked to yesterday. And there's a lot of folks that didn't come to the door. You know, you knock on the door and you knock there and you know, you hear in the background, nobody's home. You hear little feet running around and all those kind of things. I think Brother Trapper and I witnessed to a cat that came to the door yesterday. All kind of fun stuff happens on visitation. We were talking to a guy about his soul and another guy ran out of the trailer, took running across the yard. So they must have thought we were the police or something. I don't know what was going on here. All kind of interesting things happen. And we got testimonies of how people were saved and people saying, well, you can't really know for sure. And there was one man that Trapper and I were talking to, and I think Brother Robinson talked to him also. And I said, do you know where you would go if you died? And he said, no one can know. I said, do you believe this is the Word of God? And I had a Bible in my hand. He said, I do. I said, can I show you a verse? He said, no need. I know them all. Well, man, that is wonderful. Praise. I have never met nobody that knows all the Bible. Amen. But he said he knows them all. I said, well, do you know 1 John 5:13? He kind of looked at me, and I quoted it to him and said that we can know that we have eternal life. And he just didn't want to talk about it. And you say, well, how does this happen? You know, the devil is as a roaring lion, and he is trying to blind everybody he can from the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's trying to play games with people and play with their mind. And the devil has gotten so involved in religion. Amen. We talked to a guy, Brother Robinson and I, about religion yesterday. And the devil's gotten so involved in it. And he's gotten so involved with the Bible. And he's gotten so involved with churches and with preachers that he's confused the whole mess. And now people don't know what to believe or how to believe it. And you try to witness to somebody, and the question they have for you is, how do I know that yours is right? Amen? The devil's monkeyed with it. Amen? He's messed with it to the point that it's brought confusion. And I've told y'all before that, God has a church, and God has a preacher, and God has a Bible, and the devil is a great counterfeiter. And I'm here to tell you that he has a church, and he has a Bible, and he has preachers all over this country standing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they don't even know who God is. The devil's involved in every bit of it. I've got some things that are hanging here. We're going to leave them hanging up for a few months here. But we have got to get back to the Bible. We've got to get back to God's Word in our home and in churches across this country, or we are in trouble. We got to get back to the Bible. Over here we got the King James there, Bible Mountain, and all these other individuals that have written their own Bibles and all these things, and the devil gets in every one of them. Amen? The devil just gets involved in toys. And some of the devil's greatest work when it comes to attacking the Word of God is the NIV, the New King James Bible. There's one called the KJV 2000. It's so very subtle. But the devil is a subtle creature. He's walking about seeking whom he may devour. The devil's blind to the minds. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 3. 2 Corinthians 11 verse number 3. If you're there, say amen. 11:3. The Bible says, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety," we just mentioned that, "so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." The devil is messing with minds today, and he's been messing with minds since the very beginning. And here Paul was telling the Corinthian church, there's a lot of verses I'm going to use this morning out of the book of Corinthians, 1 and 2 Corinthians, because they had some problems in their church and the devil was messing with their minds. And he feared that their minds would be messed with just as Eve's was. And I'm here to tell you this morning that we live in a very wicked, wicked, corrupted mind society. Go over and look in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Paul feared for these people that the devil was playing mind games with them. And he's talking to the church. He wasn't talking to the lost here. In 2 Corinthians 11, he's talking to the church. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. We've got several verses I'm going to have you turn to this morning. And I hope that's okay. Amen. We need to be familiar with our Bible. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And I'm going to read down through several verses. And I want you to get a picture of what we are dealing with today. Look at these things. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 1. If you're there, say amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1. The Bible says this, "Know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." And we're here today. I'm telling you right now, as we go through this list, we're here. "Perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves." That's not necessarily talking about sodomy. That's talking about falling in love with yourself. "Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." Isn't it an amazing thing that God places two things like being disobedient to your parents and unthankful in a list of all these awful things? But that's how God feels about them. Amen. Verse number 3, "without natural affection." So what's that, Brother Andrew? Well, how in the world can a woman carry a baby for 8 to 9 months and deliver it in the bathroom of a filthy restaurant and put it in a garbage can and walk away? That's without natural affection. How does a man have another desire for another man? That is not natural. God did not make anyone that way, and He's not responsible for that wicked abomination. Amen? "Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." Do we not live in these days today? We do. We absolutely do. Verse number 5, "having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof." That describes a lot of churches today. Having a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Brother Brian did a devotion yesterday, and he said the power is the gospel. That's where the power comes from. So if we have a form of godliness, but we're not preaching the gospel, we're denying the power. Our battery, our power source comes from this right here. It is not me. It's not Brother Heitch. It's no other Bible teacher here. Our power comes from the Word of God. And if we don't take a stand on the Word and we don't have the Word in our home and in our life, we have no power. The power comes from the Word of God, having the form of godliness. Verse number 6, "For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." We have more education today than we've ever had, ever. We do. We got our hands at education. You can go to all these big schools. You can go to these things. You can pull up your smartphone and get educated on whatever you want to get educated on. But yet, we are probably dumber than we've ever been when it comes to what God wants for us, because we don't know what the Bible says about it. Verse number 8. "Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. They're fighting against it. They're resisting it. They're pushing it away. Men of what? Corrupt minds. Reprobate concerning the faith. The Bible says in 1 John 5:19, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Men today, their imaginations and their mind is so corrupt and wicked, it is unbelievable. Amen? The things that they think of. And you mean to tell me that the devil's not involved in some of those things? That the devil's not involved with young people that are trying to kill themselves? That the devil's not involved with people that are cutting themselves and that go through deep depressions and go through things? I'm telling you, the devil plays mind games. And God through Paul was trying to tell the Corinthian church, I'm worried about you. I'm worried about you. I'm worried that the devil's going to get your mind. And he's so very subtle about it. The devil's not going to come up with a semi-truck and park it in your front yard with corruptness written all over it and wickedness and sin written all over it. That's not how he's going to come through your front door. Amen? But I'm telling you that one of the greatest fears that we should have as a church today is the devil playing mind games. Playing mind games. And I want to look at that for a few minutes this morning. The devil's an awful thing. And I'm telling you what, these kids today that are eating Tide Pods, help us, Lord. It's always something. There's been all kind of things. I mean, all these social media, man, it is ridiculous. They had even ice bucket challenges and all these things. There's people that got their neck broke from having a bucket dropped on their head. Amen. All trying to do all these things, and some of them are in the name of charity, and now they got them where they're eating these Tide Pods. That's what you do your laundry with. And thanks a lot, I'll tell the world, thanks a lot, because now I have to show my license and get it out of a plastic box so I can go do laundry. We use Tide Pods. Do we use them? Our kids don't eat them, do they? Now, if Emma, you know, she don't know any better. It looks like a candy, amen? But these are teenagers and college kids, and they're dying from it. I mean, how dumb has our society gotten? These are college kids. They go to the higher education, man, and they're idiots. Eating Tide Pods, man. I mean, brothers, now you haven't eaten no Tide Pods, have you? Amen. You might eat a fish right out of the water, right? But not no Tide Pod. But I'm telling you, say, man, how in the world? What are they thinking? They're not. They're not thinking. And the devil is as a roaring lion. I said that a second ago, and he's messing with minds. And I want to tell you a couple things about the devil real quick, and I'm going to get into this. But you know the devil, he's a deceiver. Y'all believe that? The devil is a deceiver, and as a deceiver, he's after your mind. The devil is a destroyer, and as a destroyer, he's after your body. The devil wants God's creation. The devil wants mankind, and he's been trying to ruin it since the beginning. He's a deceiver. He's after our minds. He's a destroyer. He's after our bodies. The Bible says in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And last of all, the devil is a devourer, and he's after our souls. And I'm here to tell you, and I thank God and praise Him for it, that I'm saved, and the devil can't have my soul even if he wanted it. He can't have it. I've been born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb, and the God's on my side, and I cannot go to hell if I wanted to. I told that man yesterday, Trapper was standing there. He goes, well, none of us can know. I said, I know. I know where I'm going when I die. No matter what happens in my life, if I leave God and get away from Him, I know where I'm going when I die. I'm going to heaven. Now, I might be in for a rude awakening when I get there because of the life I live, but I'm going to heaven. I know where I'm going. He cannot have my soul. You know what the devil can do? He can get our minds and he can get our bodies. You say, well, I don't believe that. Just look around. Look at the people that used to be in church. Look at the people that used to serve God and see what the devil's done to them because they allowed the devil to come in and play mind games. The title of this morning's message is Mind Games. And this is a three-part series, and I'm going to try to get through one this morning. The devil's been playing mind games since the very beginning. Look at Genesis chapter number 3. Y'all know 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. As we go on visitation and soul winning, the devil hates that with everything in his being, that we're trying to win people to God because he'll lose another soul that he's trying to get. He hates it. He hates it. He hates it. He would hate it if our track racks stayed empty because we're giving them out everywhere, because the power of the gospel is going out. Amen. He would hate it. Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 1. The devil plays mind games. And I'm afraid that he's worked his way into churches all over this country, playing mind games to the point that churches and Christians are ineffective in their life to winning other people to God. Because if he can get you to sin and mess up, and he can get your mind, then you're not going to do what you ought to do to serve God and lead others to Christ and all those things. And you'll be in a bad spot. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1. If you're there, say amen. So the devil's been playing these mind games since the very beginning. Look in Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired, to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And you know what we find? We find one of the very first stories in the Bible of the devil playing mind games. And you know what he's trying to do with Eve here? God didn't really say that. Amen? God didn't really say that. God didn't. You know what? God is mean. God doesn't want you to eat that because He doesn't want you to be like God's, knowing good and evil. God's just a big meanie. He doesn't really care about you, and that's not really what He said. Is that not what happened? And He begins to play mind games with Eve. It started here, and it has not stopped today, where He, the devil, has tried to get people to doubt God's Word. That same devil that did this to Eve is the same devil that'll be in churches all across the country this morning, and he'll sit there in the ear of that person saying, that's not really what God's saying. Well, that's what the verse says. Well, no, that's not really what God means, though. You can really live however you want. You can really dress however you want. You can really listen to whatever kind of music you want to. You can really do whatever makes you happy. That's really what you can do. That's not really what God's saying. Oh, Eve learned a valuable lesson that day when she partook of that fruit, and immediately their eyes were open. They realized they were naked, and all of a sudden they had a knowledge they had never had before, and it scared them half to death, and they went and hid from God Almighty. Amen? Hiding from God because the devil had played mind games with them. And I believe he's still doing that and working today. The devil's never let up. Let me give you just these few things, and we'll be done this morning. I want to say the devil plays mind games, and he uses these things to play mind games. Number one, he uses devices. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. The devil plays mind games, and when you think about games and playing a game, and we played a game the other night, and all these kind of things. You play board games. You have different pieces and different pawns and different objectives in the game. And if you got a board game laid out and you got different people and you're trying to move them around and all these things, there's different components to it. And the devil, when he plays mind games, he's got things he uses also. He's got tactics that he uses. And it is wise for us as Christians to find out what the devil uses and try to combat against them. Amen? Now, I want to say, and this is getting ahead of myself for some of the messages coming up, but we do not need to play games with the devil. When we talk about mind games, the devil wants to toy with your mind, and he wants to play with your mind, but we don't need to play the game with the devil. But I'm here to say this morning that I think it's very tragic, but I think that we're playing games with the devil. Why? Because we're arguing back and forth with him, and we're toying ideas, and we're playing the mind game with him. Devices. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. Y'all there, say amen. I need to get there. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. I usually write these out, but when I do that, sometimes I don't have you turn to them, and I want to get you to see it. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 in verse number 9. The Bible says, "For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things." You know what God wants us to do this morning? He wants us to be obedient to His Word. Isn't that right? He wants us to be obedient to the Word of God. Paul said, "I'm writing unto you because I want some proof that you are obeying the Word of God, that you're obeying these things." Verse number 10, "To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgive I it in the person of Christ." Look what he says in verse number 11. "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his" what? "Of his devices." He told the Corinthian church, which had a lot of problems. Man, the Corinthian church, but Brother Hodge, did it not have a lot of problems? Man, that church was full of problems. And he was trying to help them, and he said, "I want to make sure that you're obeying God, that you're obeying the Word of God, because I'm scared to death that Satan is going to try to get an advantage in your life, and he's going to play mind games with you, and we don't want to be ignorant of his devices. It would be a shame, and it would be a disgrace, and it would be a disadvantage, and whatever word you want to come up with, for me as a pastor or you as a parent not to be aware of what the devil uses to get to our children, to our homes, and to our church. It would be foolish of us not to understand that, would it not? Knowing the enemy and knowing what he does." And he says, "We are not ignorant of his devices." Paul knew exactly what kind of damage the devil can do. He had given most of his life to serving the devil. In the name of religion, killing Christians. Amen. He knew how the devil could toy with minds. The devil knew, Paul knew about the thorn he had in his side, the thorn in the flesh. Amen. He knew about it, and he knew that it was the messenger of Satan to buffet him, to get in his ear and tell him how no good he was. To tell him. And so Paul knew about the devices of the devil. You know, when you think about devices, I know that in this context, it could be talking about many things, but you know, some of the devices that absolutely control people today is electronic devices. They have a hold, and I put mine in my office. I meant to use it for an illustration this morning, but they have a hold, and they have a pull, and they have a drag on God's people today. Like the devil uses those to play mind games. How many teenagers do we have today that are suicidal and they're depressed out of their mind and all those things because of social media, because of electronics, and they get on there and they read all this thing and they see all these things and nobody likes their picture and nobody likes their page, and all of a sudden they feel worthless, and the devil can go up to them and he can whisper in their ear and say, "Nobody loves you." Amen? We have families, husbands and wives that have a beautiful marriage and God's blessed their marriage, but one of them gets on there or two of them get on there and they start seeing and they say, "Well, it looks greener on the other side. I see the big car he's driving. I see the big truck he's driving. I see the house he's living in, and I know what the home I live in, and my husband doesn't have the big truck and he doesn't have these things." And he said, "And I can see the way he treats his wife." And next thing you know, the devil starts playing in their mind saying, "You deserve better. Didn't you go to high school with him? Why don't you just reach out to him?" Amen? Is it not happening all over the country this way? We shouldn't be ignorant of these things. Say, "Well, I'm not doing that." Well, praise the Lord, don't. I'm trying to warn you this morning. And they do that. Well, guess what, Brother Johnny? They leave their husband and go over there to find out that guy's so far in debt that they're about to take his truck and his house and his family. Amen? And the devil's like, "Ooh, another family I just destroyed that was going to church." And guess what? Now they can't go to church together because they got a divorce and it's awkward. Are y'all all right this morning? Amen? Devices. The devil has these electronics. You know what? You know what the devil, some of his devices, he uses entertainment. We are so entertained today. If I hear one more commercial or see one more thing where somebody says they're binge watching something, if you're binge watching something, you're not reading your Bible. Amen? If you're binge watching, you're not praying. That they have advertisements all over the place, and you see them, and I'll even be working at work trying to look up a part, trying to look up a filter or something, and there'll be advertisements for a show or advertisements for some kind of entertainment, and they're constantly flashing up. They're constantly there in front of you, and the devil wants to keep you so busy that you'll never look in God's Word. He wants to keep you so entertained that you won't be at church. Amen. Sometimes we'll come into church the next morning and there'll be people literally sleeping during church. Why? They didn't go to bed the night before. What were they doing? I don't know, binge watching something. Amen. Watching that television. Man, I'm telling you what, I know there's some people that say, well, I can't fall asleep unless the TV's on. You want to fall asleep at night? Read your Bible. It happens every time for me, Brother Heitz. If I'm tired, if I just start reading my Bible, I'll fall asleep. Read your Bible. How would you like the last thing that your kids hear before they go to bed is some kind of Hollywood show? And the devil sitting back like, oh, my devices are working. My trickery's working. What about the last thing they hear before they go to bed is daddy going up to them and having their hand on his head after they finish devotion saying, God, would you please give them a good night's sleep? Lord, would you please protect them tonight? Father, give us a good day in the house of God tomorrow. And Lord, I pray that they would get saved at a young age. God, I pray they would fall in love with you. Lord, I pray for your mercies on their lives. God, would you take them and use them for your glory and your honor? And then they go off to bed and that's the last thing they heard. Or is it some sitcom? And God help you if you let them go in their room with a device by themselves before they go to bed. I don't care if they're playing a game. I don't care if they're watching some kind of harmless YouTube thing. I'm telling you, that is a device the devil uses, and he will get to them with it no matter how you feel about it. He'll do it. Because you know what he wants to do? He wants to corrupt their minds. And he does it ever so subtly. And it's a dangerous thing. I know sometimes the kids, like, they'll have little games and all that, those things, and sometimes we let Ella do it and Elijah, and we'll let her play a game if we're sitting there right there with them. And I think even sometimes we do it too much. Amen. We'll let them do that thing, but it's a dangerous thing. You got to watch it. I don't think a child needs to have one of their own and be off alone with it. You say, well, it's locked down. They can't do nothing. That's what you think. The devil is a man, I'm telling you, he's trying to play mind games. We're losing kids left and right. We're losing marriages. The whole time, God's church that he's trying to use to send out the gospel all over the world, they can't send out the gospel and they can't witness because the churches are broken up and the homes are broken up and the children are broken up and everything's just broken up and God, and the devil's just sitting there toying and playing with their mind and now the gospel can't go out. It's a sad thing. Electronics and entertainment, Hollywood. You know Hollywood? Me and Brother Hodge were talking about this yesterday, Brother Brian and Brother Nick. Hollywood, they have an agenda. Whether you like it or not, they have an agenda. And they try to get you to accept things, and they do it through entertainment and through Hollywood. They started years and years ago trying to get us to accept and accept things that are happening today that were futuristic in shows a long time ago, and now we see it coming to fruition, and we say, oh, this is what that was talking about. Okay. And we accept it. Amen? Hollywood has got an agenda. Be careful with it. The devil uses devices. You know, one thing that I don't know a lot about it because I never got into it, but there's a whole world of people that are caught up in gaming. They're caught up in this virtual reality. They're caught up in this role-playing games. Y'all know anybody that's caught up in this? I don't know a lot about it, but I hear people that get caught up in these things where they become the character and they actually think that they're a part of it, and there's rituals and there's things that they do. That's dangerous. Husbands in their 30s and their wives begging them to come to bed with them, and they're not because they're up till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning playing a video game. Amen. The devil's got devices. Well, it's harmless, is it? Especially when you get on there and you're talking to other people around the world. Dangerous thing. Social media. The devil has devices. I think the devil is involved in some of the education of our children. Amen. Some of these public schools, I read an article today where there's states that are now required, and it's going to come to Alabama, I'm telling you this right now, they are required to teach about homosexual history now. It's a requirement in the public schools, and it's coming here. The devil's got devices. There's a lot of other things they teach them in there. Amen. I would throw... My kids are not going to public school. They're not. And I know, you know, sometimes people say, I can't afford it. What do you do? I don't know. I'll get the Bible and teach them myself. Amen. They might come arrest me for it. I don't know. But it's our responsibility to teach our children. And so, you know, there was a school I heard about, elementary school, that sent the children home with condoms. And we're teaching them. Elementary. Man, if Ella came walking home with one of those, somebody would be getting a black eye down at the school. Amen. The devil's got devices. Devil's got them. Not only does he use devices, but number two, look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. I told you I'm not trying to go far from 2 Corinthians because, man, the devil worked a lot of stuff in that church. I would hate if God had to write another Bible, that he would have to write a whole two books about White Oak dealing with all the problems in it. Amen. Wouldn't that be a shame? I'd want to be known as one of those churches that, hey, they weren't perfect, but they loved God and they served Him and they tried to win people to God. Amen. Not for me, but for the glory of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at verse number 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. This is something that we got to get. Our fight is not with one another. It's with the devil and it's with his demons and all those things, the spiritual wickedness. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know what we find here? And I'm not going to get really big into these here because the message, Lord willing, the next one I preach is going to deal with this subject here. But you find thoughts, imaginations, strongholds. What do they all have to do with? Our mind. The devil playing mind games. You know what the devil is a master at? He's a master of distraction. If he can get you thinking about something else, then you're not thinking about God. If he can get you and your wife fighting, if he can get you and your children fighting, if he can get all those things happening, then you're not thinking about Christ. Then you're not thinking about God. He uses all kinds of things to do it. I mentioned some of them a second ago. The media and entertainment. You know that the devil's in music? If you don't believe the devil's in music, your eyes are blinded. Amen. The devil is blinding your mind. And I told you a second ago, the devil's got a Bible. The devil's got multiple Bibles. The devil's got a church. The devil's got preachers. And guess what? The devil's got Christian music called contemporary Christian music. And the devil gets in those things. And it's close. You know, some of those songs, they're not even scriptural songs at all. You can't find the Bible in those songs. You can't find the Word of God in those songs. I heard a preacher talking about the other day, you know that song, Our God is an Awesome God. Y'all okay? You know what song I'm talking about? Show me in the Bible where our God's an awesome God. You know the Bible says our God's a fearful God. The Bible has a lot to say about our God, and awesome is not one of them. Oh, He ought to be reverent and respected. And amen. We serve a wonderful God. Don't get me wrong. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Early in the morning, my song shall rise to Thee. Holy, holy, holy. Amen. He's a holy God. Say, where's that? Isaiah chapter 6. Where they said, holy, 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 Lord God. That's biblical. Show me in the Bible where it says God is an awesome God. Amen? I can go on and on and on of other songs that fall under the category of contemporary Christian music. And the devil gives you just enough to distract you. To think, well, man, I'm serving God and I'm praising God. You can go to church this morning and go get in a small group somewhere and you can feel good about yourself and it's just enough. Just enough. The devil will compromise a little bit. I don't care if you go to church, Brother Terry. Just don't go to that one. Why don't you just go to this one? I'm okay if you go there every Sunday. Amen? The devil's got devices, and distraction is a thing that he uses, and he loves to distract. And he'll even use things of so-called Christianity to distract. Just trying to warn this morning. This is a warning for me too, my family, amen? There's things sometimes I'll get back or get comfortable in my house and my family and things going on, and next thing you know, the Lord starts talking to your heart and you say, man, wait a minute. I can see this going in a bad direction. We got to be aware of those things. Distractions. You know another one the devil uses? And this one is a powerful, powerful thing that the devil uses. And that's discouragement. Discouragement. You know, the Bible says in James 1:8 that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. A double man. The devil is a master at discouragement. What are you talking about, Brother Andrew? I'm talking about getting in somebody's ear and telling them, well, due to your past, you shouldn't even be sitting in church today. What are you doing trying to raise a family? Amen. What are you doing getting up and preaching? What are you doing getting up and singing? And guess what? He's right about everything we've done. I'm no good, sorry, good for nothing. I don't deserve to be up here, but the grace of God is greater. The love of God is greater. Hey, He's greater than all those things. And if God can forgive you and God puts you up there, then serve Him. But the devil's a great discourager, Brother Johnny. The devil will discourage you. Well, man, everything you've been through and you're trying to praise God, he'll use your past. He'll use mistakes. And the past is one of the greatest things the devil will use. And there's people not sitting in church today, and they're not up preaching the Word of God, and they're not singing, and they're not serving God, and they're not doing those things because the devil has played mind games so much that they actually believe that they're no good. Hey, let me tell you this. Can I help you real quick? God knew you were no good when He sent His Son to die on the cross for you. He knew that you would sin. He knew that you would mess up. He knew that it wouldn't be perfect. But yet He loved us anyway and died on the cross for us. And gave His Son for us. And you know what? He knew that we would mess up after salvation. And He knew that we would make mistakes after salvation. And so He wrote 1 John 1:9 that said, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He knew that we would mess up, and He made a way for us to get right with God. Amen? Well, what about the brethren? Who cares about them if God is pleased? Amen? Because He'll use discouragement. He'll get in your ear, and He'll put your family in your ear, and He'll put your friends in your ear, and He'll use whatever He can to try to discourage you from serving God and going to church and living right and doing right. Because He's playing mind games. Amen? It's just a warning this morning. Discouragement. You know what else he'll do? Somebody will get up and sing. He'll lean over in your ear and say, hey, you can't sing. Amen. Well, man, he's up there preaching. Well, you can't preach. Well, you can't even read the words right. And you know what he's doing? He's trying to discourage you to the point you say, well, I can't do it. And he'll just discourage. I know we probably have some people in this church that can flat out sing. And we do. We got talent in this church, and I thank God for it. The devil, man, he'll get there and say, well, no, you can't really. Why? He doesn't want you standing up here praising God. He doesn't want you worshiping God. He doesn't want to see your kids up here. He wants to destroy the home, and he wants to destroy your spirit. He uses discouragement. Last of all, you know what the devil uses? He uses deceit. He'll use devices. He'll use distractions, and he'll use deceit. If he can't get you pulled away with entertainment, and he can't get you pulled away with distractions, he can't get you pulled away with discouragement, he'll just flat out lie to you. Amen? Let me read a verse. You don't have to turn there unless you want to, but I'm trying to finish up. John chapter 8, verse number 44, ye of your father the devil. And the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. Because there is no truth in him. when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar. And guess what? He's the father of it. He's the father of lies. The devil can't get you with devices, and he's going to try, and distractions and discouragement. Guess what he's going to do? He's going to tell you a bold-faced lie. And he's playing mind games. And there's Christians all over the country that are falling one after another. The devil's saying, I don't even know how to play chess. Is it checkmate? Is that right? I don't know how to play. I wish I did. Checkmate. You know what the devil's doing? Brother Nathan, the devil is getting out. He's playing mind games with marriages. He's playing mind games with homes and kids and families. Some of them, all he has to do is open the device door open in the entertainment of the world, and we're actually inviting them in. We bring them into our home, and he's doing all the work he needs to do without ever having to step one foot in your house by himself, because he just has all these devices and entertainment and social media, all these things, and we bring it in our home. Devil, we got it. We'll bring it in here. You know, it's good, and that he's in. And he'll bring distractions in our life, and he's just playing with mind games, playing with mind games, and playing with mind games, and he's toying with our minds. And one after another, this family quits church. These people get mad. These people get upset. The devil starts telling lies. Amen. Well, they really don't like you. What about these young people today? There's young girls that are cutting themselves. And they're doing things. You can't tell me that's of God. It's not of God. And you know why they're doing that? There's a young lady that not long ago that I know personally, and some of y'all know her, that she was cutting herself. Her mom and dad didn't know that she was doing it. She was having thoughts of suicide. And they got to digging into it and finding out why she was depressed all the time. And they found in the back of her closet where she had wrote, I'm fat, I'm ugly, nobody loves me. She was having all these thoughts. You know what the devil's doing? Playing with mind games. Parents had no clue. Say, well, I can't guard from everything. You're right. Oh, but I tell you what we can do. You can't watch them everywhere they go. You can't be with them every second of the day. But I tell you exactly what you can do. God, would you please watch over them? God, would you please protect them? God, would you please... You know, I heard my mom one time. I walked past her room and she was down on her hands and knees on her bed saying, Lord, if he messes up, will you catch him? I said, don't pray that. I know what I'm about to go do. Because I'm telling you what, you can't, but God can. God can go with them wherever they go. And you know when you ought to start praying like that? When they're that big. David, you and Rachel ought to be praying for Luke right now, and don't stop, because the devil wants to play with his mind. The devil wants to play mind games. And he's going to lie to you. He's going to tell you the preacher's against you. The preacher hates you. The preacher don't like you. He shouldn't do like that. He's going to tell you that brother so-and-so don't like you. He's going to tell you this. And he's going to say nobody loves you. And he's a liar! He's the father of it. And he can turn people so quickly just playing mind games. Let me show you two more verses. I know what time it is. Is it okay for me to finish real quick? Go to Matthew chapter number 4. Mind games. Can I tell you, whatever mind games the devil might be playing with you this morning, you're not the first one. You're not the only one that the devil's ever done this to. I showed you where he did it to Eve. Can I tell you that the devil tried to play mind games with the Lord Jesus Christ? Go to Matthew chapter number 4. Very quickly. Matthew chapter 4. If you're there, say amen. Matthew chapter 4. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter for sake of time, but I want you all to go back this week. I give my class homework, and they don't ever do it. So I'm going to give you all homework. Go read this chapter. Would y'all do that? Would y'all go read this chapter this week? Read chapter 4, that's 11 verses. I know that's a reach for a week's worth of reading. But if you can, read this chapter. Then was Jesus, verse number 1, led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be what? Tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward anhungered. And when the tempter came, to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made of bread." And he goes through and he begins to tempt and try to play mind games with God, with Jesus Christ. He had been fasting. Can you imagine coming off of a super long fast and then somebody walking up and they know you've been fasting and said, "Hey, do you want a donut? A Krispy Kreme donut that is fresh off of the line with a glass of milk?" How tempting would that be? Amen. I see Ashley right now. She's giving in to the donut. Amen. I'm giving in. Jesus, him knowing the power of Christ, knowing the power of him, said, "Hey, why don't you just turn these stones to bread and eat?" Amen. Why don't you just, and he tried to play mind games with the Lord Jesus Christ. Look down at verse number 11. Go back and read it sometime. Would y'all do that? Look at verse 10. "Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him. And behold, angels came and ministered unto him." The devil tried to pull. You say, "Man, the devil's getting me, and I'm the only one he's taking." No. The devil tried to play mind games with Christ. You know how Christ responded? With the Word of God. He quoted Scripture to the devil. He quoted the Bible. You cannot do it without the Bible. You can't do it. "I don't have time." I told the preacher's class this morning, "I don't have time" is not an excuse to God. Go to bed earlier or get up earlier or stay up later to read. Amen. Whatever it takes, we have to have the Word of God. We have to have it. 1 John chapter number 4 is the last place I'll have you turn. I'm going to quote one other verse. I want you to go to 1 John chapter number 4. Again, this is a three-part study on the mind. Lord willing, we'll get back on it in a few weeks. I'm trying to tell you folks, we've got to be aware of the devil's games and his mind games. And he's ever so subtle. We'll let stuff come in our home and our family. We'll let our children do something. And it's so subtle. So very subtle. And before you know it, it's got a grasp on them. There was a young lady at youth camp several years ago that went up to Brother Mark McGahee. Some of y'all know him, or you got to know him the past couple weeks and heard some of his preaching. Came up to Mark McGahee and she was shaking. And she handed him a cell phone. She came up after the preacher's service. She went and got her cell phone and she was shaking. And she said, "I can't handle this. It has a grip on me." And I wish every parent in the country could have saw it that day. Amen. Brother Scott was there. There were several people there that saw it. She said, "I cannot handle this." The devil's got a grasp, and he threw my glasses on the floor. 1 John chapter 4. But I want to read James. The devil plays mind games, and he played mind games with Eve. He played mind games with Christ, and he's playing mind games with people today. Okay, you're in 1 John 4. I'm going to read James chapter 4, verse number 7 and 8. You said, "What do I do if the devil's playing mind games?" Again, I got two more messages to preach out of this, but I'm going to give you this because I don't want to leave you hanging right before we leave. James chapter 4, verse number 7, the Bible says, "Submit yourself to God." Number one, you have to submit to God and His Word. There's no other way to get around it other than submitting to God's Word. Submit yourself to God, therefore to God. Number two, resist the devil. No devil. He's playing mind games. No devil. I'm not listening to that. He tries to tell you stuff about other people. No devil. I'm not listening to it. I'm submitting myself to God. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And draw nigh to God. And he will draw nigh to you. Devil playing mind games with you this morning. We're about to give a time of invitation. And you know what you might need to do? You might need to get the strong arm of the Lord. And whether you're sitting in your pew or you're coming down to the altar, whatever it is this morning, we need to get a hold of God. We need to get a hold of God for our children, for our homes, our families, because the devil is as a roaring lion, and he is just destroying everything and destroying homes. Submit to God, resist the devil, draw nigh to God. Now, 1 John chapter 4, are you there? 1 John chapter 4. The devil tried to play mind games with Christ. Can I tell you that God won that battle? There was no checkmate for the devil that day. The Bible says, the devil leaveth. And I can just picture, you know, this world in Hollywood has got this little red-looking, goofy-looking character with this red tail and his little horns and his little pitchfork, a little cartoon-looking character, amen? That's not what the devil is. But that's how they picture it. But if that was the devil, you know what he did? He left with his little tail between his legs. The devil leaveth. That same Jesus that the devil played mind games with. Can you look at something with me? 1 John chapter number 4 and look at verse number 1. 1 John 4, 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. You know what he's saying there? Don't believe the devil every time he talks to you. Don't believe it. But try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. The devil's got a lot of little helpers. And there are pulpits all over the country. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Talk about the devil. Whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. The same devil that played mind games with Christ. Verse number 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. The same devil that played mind games with Christ, and Christ defeated him, and Christ got the